Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I have a very special guest today, Michael Cavalieri, the actor, director, and writer of the award-winning film Ritornato, the movie. So, welcome, Michael. Thanks for being here.
Bob, let me help you on the Italian. Ritornato!
Yes, my Queens comes out.
It's all good. What a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Rob. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, no, it's fabulous. So I have to ask you the first question is, of course, going to be what got you started on this journey to find your roots?
Well, the loss of my mother, my father, early on, my grandfather when I was very young. So I was really, really, struggling with myself, trying to find myself, trying to find out why these things happen to us in life. And I was on a search for something, I had gone to Italy several times before to shoot films. And I said to my wife now, but she was my girlfriend at the time, I said, listen, I really want to go back and walk in my grandfather's footsteps. I want to feel him. He was very instrumental in my life growing up. Great influence on me. He was a great influence on my whole family, actually. And he immigrated from Limina, Sicily, in 1921. Came from nothing, never spoke the language, had no education, but he was the most gentle, beautiful man. And he really, really stayed with me my whole life. So, I had conversations with my mom for years about him, and she talked about him, and we would discuss him when she was sick. We would discuss him a little bit. And I said to myself, I got to go back. So we went on the journey, and what we found was amazing. And here we are today.
I know it was amazing. And, I see that in the movie. The movie is it's joyful, but yet sad at the same time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I think that's what you were trying to capture, if I'm not mistaken.
There's some mixed feelings because, there's a lot of joy and a lot of love and passion, but also there's a lot of pain and reflecting on loss. And I'm sure you've had some in your life and we all have had it. So, the moments when you're by yourself and you're thinking about your mother or your father or somebody that was close to you and you're not there anymore, there's pain there. But then you also smile and you also go in a search and you also try to find the nuances of life. And it was a mixed bag for me in a lot of ways. But the one thing that I got from it was as soon as I stepped on the dirt, the terra, the territory, the land of my grandfather, and I saw the sign, I broke down in tears and I said, this is where I belong. This is who I am. This is my soul. And it changed my life forever. I mean, really, 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 really. I mean, he had a huge effect on me when I was younger, but going there and walking where he walked and being to places that he used to, go as a kid really changed me. Changed my perception on life, changed my perception on things that are important and not important. And I've devoted my life to now the culture and to doing projects that will lift up the culture or represent the culture or shine a light on something that happened in the culture. So this is why I'm here with you.
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of the way I feel. I started doing my roots, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago or something like that. And, I got to the point where I said, well, this is great, but I want to share it, but I also want to hear what other people have to say and hear their stories. And, you just hear some of the most incredible things.
Sure.
And, things happen that aren't coincidence. And I don't know if this happened to you, but I've heard so many stories from people where they were walking down a street in Italy or even finding things in the United States that they just show up.
Sure.
So I don't know if that happened to you, but.
Yeah, because here, it's like my experience. It's like, you go to a place and I said, I just want to walk. I just want to go to the town, and I remember calling my oldest cousin because I was like the youngest of the cousins. I said, exactly where is grandpa from? And she said, what's the town? And she gives me the town. And I said to the driver, and I forget, I said, Vincenzo, I said, domani we go to Lima. He goes, Lima, why? Nobody goes there. I said, we go. Why? My grandfather's from here. Okay. So, we go, and then you know, I think I'm going to find a street or some kind of something, an address or something. But to meet somebody there and then them being there at the same moment that you're supposed to be there when they're not even supposed to be there that day, they were supposed to be at work. And then all this stuff unfurls itself and you're like, what is going on? And I remember coming back that night and I said to my wife, I said, I don't believe this. This is not true. I don't believe this guy. I don't believe this story. I don't believe any of it. Because I only knew little bits and pieces from my grandfather and my mother. I didn't really know the whole story. So the next day I wrote to my oldest cousin again, and I wrote this story. She goes, yes, that's exactly true. I was like, wow. And then as you search, I started to search even more and more and more. And I started to find out that exactly what this man told me was exactly true. And everything, and I have all the paperwork to back it up now, and I see, wow. So why in that moment of that time in my life, you know, why was I so inspired to do it at that time? I remember writing something 20 years or 15 years earlier, and I just wasn't ready to either accept it, or I was afraid of it, or I wasn't brave enough to go through it. Whatever it was, I really wanted to do this thing, and I couldn't get myself to do it. And finally, I said, I think after I lost my sister, she was like 50 years old. I said, you know what? If I don't do something now, right now, in this moment, it's not going to get done. So I just, and I, you know, I wrote this huge screenplay that I hope to someday shoot that's unbelievable about Whitestone and growing up there and all that stuff, but integrated with my grandfather and stuff. And I said to myself, I remember going back to second year and I told this gentleman that I met, I said, I'll be back next year. He's like, no. I said, I'll be back. And I went back. And long story short, I said to myself as I was walking around, I said, you know, I got to shoot this movie now because I can't wait to get, you know, $500,000. It's $1 million. You got to do it. Figure it out. So I came home and I just started like kind of took a chunk of the film and kind of moved it around and just made this smaller piece, knowing that I'd have to foot the bill myself, and but I was willing to do it. I was game, and I had the passion, and nobody could tell me no. And many people told me no, and many people said you're never going to do it, and many people said it's not going to be good, and many people say you're not going to go anywhere. Nobody cares. And I said, you know what? There's people that care. There's a lot of people that care. You just don't know them because you're not from where I'm from. So I crafted this other shorter screenplay, and I submitted to whatever, and I won some money to go shoot this film. And I was like, well, this is only going to cover me going, getting to a hotel and, you know, to rent a car, but you know, we'll get it done. So we went and we shot it in like 4 or 5 days, and it was miraculous. It was like people were like, wow, it's going on, like, wow. So it's just proof. If you believe in something enough and you want it bad enough and it inspires you enough, you do it. And that's how it all started. And from there, you know, you meet people. And so many people write to me on an everyday basis or you know, want to talk to me about certain things. And I've met so many like yourself and Letizia, we both know I met. She wrote to me and stuff. So it's beautiful to get a dialogue with people that understand what you're feeling. So it's really a privilege for me to be involved in this, and I don't take it lightly at all. I'm very, very passionate about it. So,
yeah, no, and the same thing here. So, I listened to one of your other interviews. You have to tell the story because I think it's great about the camera crew and everything in Sicily.
Oh, yeah. Well, the camera crew, they're funny. So, I'm not exactly sure what story you're talking about. There's a few of them. Could it be the one when I was shooting a scene that they didn't know I was shooting a scene, or was it that they wanted to show up when they wanted to show up?
Yeah, that one.
So, I want to start shooting at 6 o'clock in the morning because I'm a crazy person. We're American or Sicilian American. And, you know, I like to get going. It's going to be hot. It was like 120 degrees there. The first day I was there, I was like, wow. So I said to the guys, I said, we got to be here early. We got to be here by, you know, 8 o'clock, whatever. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. 8 o'clock. You know, they want to show up at noon, have their espresso, then show up. And this is what was happening. And I would say, guys, you know, and then we would have these long lunches because they didn't want to work past 5 or 6 hours. But on several occasions, I'd be waiting and they would be late. I'd have to get them their espresso to get them in the right frame of mind. And then once we got going, we did well, but we had to get them going. And now understand this, none of them understand English. So I'm speaking to a crew that totally looks at me like I have three heads. So now I have a guy with me who's a translator who's actually in the film with me. He translates everything. So it's hilarious. It's like I'm saying it to him. He's saying it to them. They're saying it back to him, and he's saying it to me. And we're shooting this movie. And, even though we didn't understand each other, we kind of understood each other because there was so much passion in it and so much love in it and so much – my feelings were is that they had a lot of respect for me because I was coming to a place and representing them in a very, very deep way, in an honest way. And I think they really, really respected that about me. But I also was so honored that they embraced me as one of their own. And that was very special. But I remember also another funny story was we were doing a scene, and it was like a long scene. And, I had a close-up, and I was like, okay, guys, da-da-da. And I tell the guy, give him whatever, just make sure the camera's here, whatever. So we action it, and I'm doing the scene, and I'm into it. There's a whole thing. And I'm listening, I'm doing the whole thing, and, it's all the cameras, da-da-da. And they were looking at me like, and I'm starting to realize, like, why are they just, like, sitting there, like, kind of just sitting there, like, just, like, looking around, like, not even, they're not holding the cameras, and I'm starting to think, what the, so then finally, I finish the sequence, and we're sitting there, and I go, all right, cut, and the guy looks at me, goes, cut, we no roll. I said, what do you mean? He goes, we don't put camera on yet. I see, so the whole scene I was doing, they didn't have the camera on. And who am I going to blame? I blame myself. It's my fault. It's I did it wrong. But they don't understand sometimes. It's just – but that's what makes it kind of – there's a funniness to it and a nuance to it because you try to, like, explain it to them. I mean, there was days that we were doing a sequence, and I'm like, no. I remember this lady, Maria. She's so sweet. I said, Maria, no. All I need is you to do this. Okay. Action. And she would do the total opposite. No, Maria. Maria, do this. Okay, no problem. Again, we must have did it 35 times. And she finally, but you know what? They were lovely. And I wouldn't trade that experience for anything I've ever done in Hollywood, anything I've done anywhere. The love and the friendships and the respect and the honor and the laughs and the cries were spectacular. Wonderful experience.
So that's the town behind me. If anybody's interested, that's Limina behind me.
Limina! And I see that sign, Ritornato the Movie, where you can find Ritornato at ritornatothemovie.com. Guys, rent it. It's really heartfelt and passionate.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
I should stream the little banner here so people can
looks
can
great,
see that.
Very nice. Thank you for that. Yes.
There you go.
I should hire Bob as my consultant on all this computer stuff. It's incredible. Good stuff.
I work cheap. Then you have to help me make my movie. So
I'll help you whatever you want. You know that. I told you that. Whatever you want, I told you I would help you.
So did you get, were there any relatives left alive in Limina that you found?
Yeah, that's the story.
Before you went, did you know that they were there?
I didn't know exactly. There were stories about it, but I didn't know until that moment I met that man. I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You're such and such, such and such. And I didn't believe him. So I knew there were stories told to me and through my cousins and through my mother. And we heard rumblings about certain things, but I never knew specifically what it was until I arrived at that day and met that man who knew everything about my grandfather. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And then to see the old man crying, telling me he knew my grandfather and he knew my story, my grandfather was was like a revelation for me. It changed my life. And you know, I go there. I've been there now 11 years in a row, 12 years in a row. I was just named town ambassador of Limana. In several towns across Sicily. They're going to make me an honorary citizen, which I'm very proud of. Thank you. Thank you, Limana. Thank you, Filippo Ricciardi. Thank you, Turi Du Alabrandi. Very honored and very moved. And, you know, my film, unfortunately, during the pandemic, we were accepted at the Taormina Film Festival. I could not travel. Mm-hmm. So, and they didn't want to show the film without me because it was important. And it ended up being canceled. And, you know, but we showed it all over in several towns in Sicily with a wonderful, wonderful reception. Limana was fantastic in the hometown. And we're going to go back and show it again in a couple different places. But, yeah, I mean, I got relatives. I got cousins and cousins in other places in America that I didn't even know I had. But people reaching out for me in Australia and Spain. And I had a story. You know, I was never on Instagram or Facebook. You know, I never did that. I really wasn't in it. But when I started doing the movie, my wife said, Michael, you have to go on Facebook. You got to try to promote it. So I did a little bit. And just recently, a man contacted me about my grandfather. He's like, listen, I met your grandfather when I was 12 years old, when his sister, your aunt, came from Sicily to New York to go to Venezuela. They moved to Venezuela. And I have that, and I've heard that story so many times, but I've never heard somebody tell me a personal account of it. And some stranger had the exact dates that I have. And he met my grandfather in 1976, right? The year before my grandfather died, with his sister. He hadn't seen his sister in 50 years. And yeah, he left for America, and she was in Sicily. And then she came one time because she was moving with her family to Venezuela. So, it's crazy, man, just getting calls. And you know, what I find, Bob, is really fascinating for me is like, you know, everybody looks at a movie good or bad or whatever. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like, if I move you for one moment, if you can relate to something I'm doing for one moment, then we did our job, right? So when people are looking at movies as pure Hollywood, it's a different experience. It's a different thing they're going after. But if you're doing this for a cultural point of view and something that means something in the heart, then you got to stay true and honest to yourself. And there was a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's this, it's that, it's this. I said, yeah, but it's all true. It's honest. Yeah, but nobody, but it's honest. It's real. Yeah, but you want to know something? Many people, and I have many, many people written to me and reviewed this film, and they kept saying, it's so beautiful, it's so honest, it's so real, it's so just, I feel the same. I feel this. Jersey girl, what's up? You can watch it at ritornatothemovie.com. Ritornatothemovie.com. You can rent it there. And you can write to me there as well if you like. Nice to meet you. But if you can, you know, if you can just keep, like, sometimes, you know, you try to keep the blinders on because a lot of times you get outside influence telling you, well, you know, like I had a guy tell me, oh, you can't use the church sequence and you can't use this sequence. And yeah, but this is what these people love. It's part of their town. If I don't show that, they're going to cut my head off. This is who they are. Yeah, but it doesn't work. It doesn't matter if it works or not.
Right.
It's the truth of it. You know, and people relate to it. And if you have to be able to focus on what your point of view is and what you want. And it may not, many people won't like it. I listen, it's an Italian-American story. It's a Sicilian-American story. So maybe people outside the culture don't like it. But I believe that everybody would like it because it has to do with family. So it doesn't matter if you're Italian, Sicilian, Chinese, African-American, Spanish. It doesn't matter. We all have family. We all have loss. We all have roots. We all have a place we want to go. And we can connect. So for me, that was a universal theme. So it didn't matter to me.
And that's what I found in the movie. You know, it's a true to life story. I mean, it's great in that way. So I have to ask you, so that's your mom's family. Have you researched now your dad's side?
Yeah, I have some. I have good information on my father, which is why I'm getting my citizenship through actually my father's side, which I never thought would happen because I didn't even know him. My grandfather died very young on my father's side. Sicilian, and also a little Calabrese, a poco, a Cassano Ionio. So we are now going through that process because his father didn't give up his citizenship until 1940. Therefore, my father was born before then. Therefore, I am granted my citizenship. We're just going through the paperwork now. Unfortunately, my father was a Luigi when he was born. But, you know, when he died, he was a Lewis, an American version of Lewis. And he also put his middle name in there. So I have to change his birth certificate. So and a marriage certificates. And so I'm going through that process. But it's all we're almost there. I think we have to get his we got the marriage certificate to my mother amended, which was really difficult. And then now we just have to work on amending his birth certificate, I believe, because it's Luigi. We have to put.
Oh, yes. Right. You have to write the right
everything
dates.
Matches. Yeah. And yeah. So I didn't even know my grandfather, my great grandfather, Luigi. That's how this all happened. By the way, I met somebody. And when I was in Rico Nato, when I showed this film in New York, at the Columbus Citizens Foundation, they asked me to come and show the film, and I did. And he started to do my research. He goes, Michael, you can't get it through your grandfather because he had to give it up to come. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, Agostino had to give it up to be, you know, he had to renounce it to become a citizen. And your mom was not born yet. She was born right after that, which is unfortunate, but whatever. So he started to peck around and give me information about the other side. And he says, is there a Luigi? That's my father. But I didn't know him. I knew him was Lewis in the American version. And then we saw his birth certificate. I was like, wow. And then my grandmother. And I was like, whoa. And then it all came together. And then and all the paperwork came together. So I didn't know I had a Luigi great-grandfather in the Bronx that died at like 97 years old. I had no idea. So
wow.
I
was too young. Yeah.
Yeah. So
wow,
we're on that track now. We're working.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing the same thing. I have the same situation. My grandfather naturalized after my father was born, and I have, you know, somebody getting the paperwork, you know, together. And I don't know if you know, maybe you do, that it's a lot faster if you spend 45 days in Italy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm planning to do. I have,
yeah,
my people are going to go to, I have a guy that I'm dealing with out of a small town. I forget the name of the town. Anyway, it's a small town. Not even, it's in the north, the northern province. Because for me, Ciao Pietro, Spagnolo, Limina, not Lina. Limina is in the Val d'Agro area. Pietro, near Rocco Fiorita, not far from Antilo. In that area, Limina Messina. I forget the town that we're going to do it in. It's in the north. It's kind of near. It's kind of not far. It's not far from Venice, actually. And you do like a couple months there. You get a little apartment, whatever you stay, and mm-hmm. That's what we're going to try to do. So
yeah, hopefully it's a real hardship spending 45 days in Italy. I suppose
it's tough. It's tough. You know, I hope to be there to do some other work there. So. It'll be great for me.
So Whitestone. Whitestone. Yes. You're from Whitestone.
Yeah, I grew up in Whitestone. Good old Whitestone. You know, it's funny. I wasn't there a lot, actually.
Again, two Whitestone boys meet through Letizia in Rome.
Letizia's wonderful.
It's not an accident.
No, it's destiny. That's what I'm telling you. Letizia Sinisi is a wonderful lady. I want to wish her well in her book, Roots. She's a good lady, and I hope to meet her soon. I think we're going to do a screening of Ritornato somewhere there in Roma, or maybe in Rimini. My cousin is in Rimini. But anyway, Whitestone. Wow. You know, I never felt like I belonged in Whitestone. I just got to be honest with you. I grew up there. I love it. It's a beautiful place. It was a beautiful place to grow up. I'm very grateful. 10th Avenue in Whitestone was my casa, my house. My mom and my dad, they had a great upbringing there. I spent a lot of time though in the Bronx with my grandmother. in Throgs Neck. I went to school there for a year as well. Whitestone was interesting. Whitestone was a place of, you know, I was an athlete, so really most of my focus was training, trying to get, you know, nobody in my family ever graduated college. Nobody ever graduated pretty much high school. So I was trying to really, really do my work. So I was a pretty good athlete, played all the leagues in Whitestone, DG, Dwarf Giraffe Leagues, and all the little league, yeah, baseball. Yeah. So, used to play at Flushing Memorial Park, down at Doopies and all these parks.
Oh, Doopie. Boy, I haven't heard Doopies in 50 years.
Right, Bob? So I played there you know, I really, really was focused on being an athlete. At, you know, at some points in my life, I had a shot to go pro, but injuries kind of started, derailed it. But I have very fond memories of Whitestone and you know, moments, you know, moments of recollection of my mom and you know, just talking with her, hanging out on the stoop, just chilling out, you know, or having a barbecue, or just, you know, training, running and working out, and some of the people that I grew up with. I don't really see anybody. I left pretty early. I left kind of right around 17. But I always went back to visit my sister who was still in Whitestone, she moved up to like near the Cross Island Parkway over there near, near St. Luke's, on the same street as St. Luke's, like that one long street before you turn onto the parkway there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, my Aunt Eleanor is still alive. She's still in Whitestone. She's like 90, 93, 94, my mother's best friend. So, whenever I go back, I try to, you know, make a drive through and stop. And, there are not many people there that I grew up with. Letizia, come va? Ciao. You're both in the book also. Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm going to be meeting her soon. So, if we ever get rid of this stupid disease, I'm going to get there.
Well, you got to go no matter what. You must go.
I'm going. I don't care.
You got to wear Bob. You wear a bubble, like a body bubble.
like the Seinfeld episode, like the bubble board.
Exactly. So I have a script. I have a script based on Whitestone. That is a tremendous script. Very heartfelt story that I would love to do. So if anybody out there is looking to do something about Whitestone or about the Sicilian American, Italian American experience growing up, please reach out to me at ritornatothemovie.com. We want to do this.
I'll send my brother-in-law, Richie.
Richie Rinaldi. What's up, Richie? Clintonville Street. I know you well.
He'll tell you everything about Whitestone and College Point. Oh, Richie? Things that you don't even want to know.
Oh, Richie, don't tell me things I don't want to know, because I know a lot that I don't want to know, that I want to hide. Nice to meet you, Richie.
Before I let you go, I just want to ask you one more question. I think, I could be wrong, but I think you mentioned something about potentially doing something with Shaka in Sicily. Or did I get that wrong?
There's a possibility of doing something. I have a very dear friend that I really, really admire that I would love to work with. So we're talking about something, but that may be, you know, down the line. Shaka's a beautiful place. I spent a couple of days, maybe 4 or 5 days there last trip. I'm going to go back this trip again. Have you been?
No, I haven't. We plan to go there. My wife's mom is from Shaka. So we're definitely, when we go, we're definitely going to go there.
You know Shaka well.
And I don't know. I just found this out. Did you know there's a large population of people from Shaka in Boston? Shaka, and every year they have a big feast and everything.
Yeah, there's a big feast. And I know a guy that does that feast in Boston, actually. Yeah, he's a good man. There's a lot. You know, it's funny how – thank you, Melinda. Thank you. Thank you so much. Melinda Myers, thank you so much. Yes, it is from the heart. Bob and I, it's very important to love where we're from. Limina, wow. My roots. Shaka is a beautiful town. I have a very dear friend there. I was made town ambassador there as well.
You're a town ambassador every place in Sicily.
No, I don't know. I think it's really more about the true honesty and love of who you are and what you are and you know, I have to say this, Bob, if you don't mind. I don't know how you feel about this, the way that we're represented in cinema, but maybe I should ask you this question since you're hosting the show. How do you think our culture is represented in cinema?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or in life?
That's a good question. And I'm going to say two things. The first thing is they don't show the true Italian spirit, the true Italians. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. I lived in England, right? Mm-hmm. For 2 years. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought we're mafia. Because that's all they saw. They didn't come to New York. They didn't know. That's what they kind of saw. However, it did work out well one time. A guy came over to me one time. We almost had like a little fender bender. And he started walking towards me. And I told him, you better get back in that car. And he turned around and went away. So, but I see your point. And you know, I love the stuff that Frank DiPiero does, because he does this Italian-American moment. I mean, he just did one the other day. The guy who invented blow pops was an Italian. Who knew that? I didn't know that.
That's wonderful.
You know? Well, you know, cough drops. He invented cough drops. So to your point, they don't show the true spirit, the attachment, and everything seems to be swung in the wrong direction.
Well, it becomes what really, really changed my perspective on so many things. You know, being an actor here in Hollywood, it's like everything, you know, for years they wanted you to change your name. They wanted you to do this. They wanted you to do that. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. It doesn't mean, you know, and then you would try to do great projects and nobody wanted to get behind them. And, or they want you to, you know, this stereotypical, you know, characters, you know, like there's one Godfather. There's only one Godfather, by the way. And that's it. Or Godfather 2, the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to make another Godfather, but they want to stereotype everything. And it's like, that's not what we're about. That was a movie that happened once. There's only one film like that in the history of filmmaking. So now people want to go off and make all these mafia movies and all these stereotypical movies. And this is all they continue to do. And every part now is in Hollywood. It's not every part, but a lot of the parts that you would read for are stereotypical roles. Now, Sopranos is a once-in-a-lifetime show. I did it. I was on it. It's a wonderful show. Great actors. But you can't replicate that great show with something that's a cheap version. And this is what they continue to do. And it's just like, this is the problem for our own culture, that we're demeaning in the work that they're doing. They're demeaning the culture because they're stereotyping. And you're playing the stereotype. You're playing that part in everything that you do. Every time you're cast or you allow somebody to cast that part that way, this digs the hole deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is why I don't want to work in this business. I don't care. I couldn't care less. For me, it's more about representing us in a true way with stories that represent the heart and soul of where we come from and family and you know, as Jersey Girl 15. Yeah, you want to see it? You'll see my next film will depict these people in a really honest way and what they went through. Anybody who fought to give us a better life should be represented in an honorable way. Anybody who went to work every day, that did the things that they needed to do to take care of the family. But we lose that fact because we get caught up in stereotypes. And it's a failure. We're failing ourselves. Because people don't want to give money to stories that are really honorable. They want to give money to mafia, to shootings, to killings, to this and this and that. Because that's what the audience now wants to see. That's all they understand. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and you know, my friend Anthony Riccio, who, you know, I just met in the last year, who, and I think I may have told you this offline, he tape recorded Italian immigrants 40 years ago. I mean, what foresight to do this? He's got hundreds of hours of tapes. And you listen to these tapes. It's amazing. You know, the one that stands out to me is the woman who was talking about the living on the farm in Italy, 1900. And you know, saying, my grandmother, not my grandmother, her mother used to go out in the yard and call it the chickens. Beep, 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 beep. That's classic stuff, you know, how they grew up there. The other family, there were 14 children in Sicily seven boys and seven girls. The girls used to have, they had one pair of shoes for every two girls. And they used to switch to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine? I mean, it's amazing. You
know, my grandfather had nine kids here in America, by the way.
My mother had nine. Yeah, my mother's family was nine also. Yeah.
So you hear these stories and you understand what these people came from. This is what I'm saying. It's such a tragic thing that they've been, their honorability and their suffering and all the stuff that they went through. You water it down to a stereotype, and you water it down to this idiot driving down the street with a Cadillac or you know, wearing a, you know, a tank top and talking like a moron. This is not what this is about. We're better than that. We should be better than that. We should perpetuate better than that. You understand? This is who we are. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And until we get that through our heads, we're still going to recoil the same garbage over and over again. That's it. Eleanor, ciao. Thank you. If you like it, let me know what you think.
I'm gonna tell you before we sign off, I'm gonna tell you my quick Aunt Mary Mafia story.
Uh-oh.
From Corona, Queens, and probably around
Lemon Ice King.
Leonard's Bakery. That's where my aunt and uncle worked at Leonard's Bakery in the 50s. And Aunt Mary, every Italian's got an Aunt Mary, right? She worked behind the counter, and one day, Profaci walks in with his two sons, and he's wearing this white fedora hat. Must have been the summertime, and he comes walking in, and Aunt Mary says,
"I love it."
There goes Charlie Chan with his two sons.
She got away with it, too, right?
The two sons laugh. Right? They go in the back. Now, I just found this out recently. Profaci was the cousin of Leonard Mangiapane, who owned the bakery. And as they come out, they leave, and he turns to her and says in Sicilian, "You're a real wise one." And the boys are still laughing. So Aunt Mary's voice comes out. He comes out and he says, Mary, what are you doing? Don't you know who that is? She goes, "It's Profaci, the olive oil man." He goes, "He's not the olive man."
Wow.
He was, but he wasn't.
But of course. But they get away with it. You know what I mean? Because they get away with it.
Aunt Mary could get away with anything.
Just the fact that saying Aunt Mary makes my heart warm. I mean, just to hear that. Because I used to hear everybody call my mother Aunt Mary. Mary. Great name.
My mother, there were three girls and six boys in the family.
Wow. Wow.
And my uncle, when my grandparents came, they left my uncle behind with his grandparents. He didn't come until 1950. He hadn't seen his parents in 35 years, and he had never met his brothers and sisters.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's beautiful. It's amazing. That's what I'm saying. These are things that are worth, that are priceless. You know what I mean, Bob?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mike, I'll let you go. I really, really appreciate you taking the time from sunny California. And we'll talk again.
Sunny, chilly California. I'm freezing, but it's nice. It's much nicer than it is over there. Listen, best regards to everybody. Whitestone, thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege to be here with you, to speak with you. I think you're doing great things. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. And feeling is mutual.
And listen, guys, ritornatothemovie.com. Go there and rent the movie. You can read about it, see behind the scenes. Look at Liam in the first hands. If you have any questions, you can write to me at that ritornatothemovie.com. I'll answer anything you want. Get a hold of me on Facebook, too, or on Instagram. Ritornato_the_movie_. I love to talk to people about our culture. And we got things to do, Bob. Things to do.
We do. All right, take care.
Thanks, Bob. You're the best. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.
Ciao.